One and done again. Welcome, everyone, to Eagles Power Hour. I am your host, Patrick Frakes. We are your unofficial Eastern Washington affiliate on the Big Sky Podcast Network. I goofed up the intro a little bit, but it's whatever. We're going to roll with it. I'm coming at you sick at home for spring break and sad because your Eagle men are one and done in the Big Sky Tournament once again. Absolutely brutal way to go out and end this season. This team had legit aspirations of going to the big dance, and this team was very capable of going to the big dance, and we just, to put it plainly, we shit the bed again. Like, it's frustrating, man. It sucks, and I'm really not going to be insanely harsh on Coach Riley, because I know a lot of Eagle fans are. They're saying, oh, Coach Riley can't coach in March. Well, the last 2 years, we've seen that. You know, we've struggled in March, that's for sure. But we also got to remember, we're, 31-5 in the last 2 years in the Big Sky? Like, this team has been amazing, and this rebuild has been amazing. But the tournament play hasn't. And I think part of it has to do with the way Coach Riley's teams are built. Being kind of a inside-out team that relies on the three-pointer more than your typical inside-out team might. That could definitely be a part of some of the postseason struggles, but man, this one hurts. I don't have a very structured out plan of how this episode is going to go. We're just going to kind of box score watch a little bit and we'll hit on how everything else went as it comes. We're going to kind of just go through it. Oh, man, this one just, it was brutal. Eastern Washington loses 74-69 to the 10 seed Sacramento State, a team that Eastern Washington has beat twice on the year already. The last matchup, Eastern won 91-88 down on the Nest. It was kind of a weird game where Sac State like broke their school record in 3 points made. And then we just absolutely beat them, just smoked them. We beat them 87-61 the first time these two teams played. And this was in December, I think. Yeah, December. So, man, just an absolutely brutal way to go out. Absolutely brutal the way we lost. Absolutely brutal the team we lost to. We should be playing for the game to go to the big dance. This team should be. But, losing that 10-1 game or that 9-1 game just, so deflating, man. First time in Big Sky Conference tournament history that the 10 seed has beat the 1 seed. Man. And shoot, Sac State's playing for the damn semifinals tonight as I'm recording this. I'm recording this on March 12th. This would be Tuesday. Your Eagle women had a nice win today, earlier today, but today's just when I had time to record. We'll get into this. So, really, the story of this game was Eastern just couldn't get anything going offensively, man. 69 points is one of the lower totals for the team really all year. Just kind of scrolling through, I don't see a single game where Eastern is under 70. We scored 71 in our last loss versus NAU. But other than that, we only scored 6. So in our two losses are the only games where we scored even close to 70 points or less. Other than that, yeah. Ouch, man. Just scrolling through. We lose when we score less than 75 points is what it kind of looks like. When you just look at the box score overall, that's kind of what you see. We beat Air Force scoring 73. We beat Cal Poly scoring 62. But then once we got into conference play, we didn't beat anyone if we scored less than 75 points is kind of what I'm seeing right now, just scrolling through the schedule. Which, of course, you guys can't see because I forgot to press a button, but it's whatever. Man. But really, we just couldn't get consistent scoring. A lot of people are blaming, like, horrible defensive effort. I don't really think so. It's not like Sac State shot some ridiculous percentage. They shot 40%. They shot 40% from three, which was, not ideal. It's a higher percentage than what you want to see, but they only made 8. They made 18 the last time these two teams played, and we were able to survive that. So that wasn't the problem, in my opinion. It wasn't a defensive problem, really, at all, in my opinion. I really am not going to blame this one on defense at all. I'm blaming this one on the offense, on the offensive effort. Overall, it was just poor. Man, outside was absolutely brutal. Our team's kind of known two best shooters in Cedric Coward and Jake Kyman, combined for 2 for 14 from three. And Kyman went, he had a brutal night. He was 1 for 10 from the field. He only had 3 points. He'd made 1 3-pointer early in the game and didn't really do much after that. He did have 3 assists. He had a nice lob to Casey Jones, but he had 2 turnovers. You know, he had a tough outing, man. It's really tough when you have a guy like Kyman just struggling like that, just because he's brought in to be the shooter, and he just could not hit for whatever reason. The thing with Kyman is he just shoots a lot of low quality shots, not great shots that he can make 100%. But man, it's just brutal when he takes 10 shots and he misses all of them, you know, except for, you know, the 1-3 early. But man, I'm not trying to bag on him, because Kyman, we really do appreciate his contributions as an Eagle, and we'll talk more about the season as a whole in another episode. But you know, we just couldn't get it going, man. And it's not like we shot insanely horrible from the field. We shot 40% from the field, which is well below our average, but you know, we still were able to score relatively okay inside. We just could not shoot from outside, man. 6 for 26 on the game, 23%. One of our worst shooting performances. This game felt almost identical to the Montana State loss in the brick in Bozeman earlier this year. It just felt like we were sitting 5-ish points behind them all game, just because they got a few threes to go and we didn't. And we're sitting there and we're just like kind of, we hit a shot, they hit a shot. And then both teams trade turnovers, and then both teams hit a shot again, and they really. You know, it's just back and forth, but just not very impressive offensive efforts. And then all of a sudden, there's 2 minutes left, and we're down 7. And we're like, wait, what do we do? Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. We haven't hit a shot in whatever. The second half, I believe we went 2 for 13. 2 for 13 from 3, just 15%. Absolutely just pitiful, man. 10 for 24 from the field in that second half, which wasn't horrible. We got to the line at a pretty high clip, but I won't lie, man. I'm not trying to blame this game on the officials at all, because we had to shoot. We had to shoot better. But there was some pretty questionable calls in that first half, or questionable officiating in that first half. It definitely felt like Sac State got a lot more calls than Eastern Washington. That whole first 20 minutes, you know, Eastern shot 10 free throws to Sac State's 17. And if you just look at the fouls, it actually evened out. But 24 fouls on Eastern versus 20 on Sac State. I'm not blaming this on the refs at all, but it definitely was it was tough. You know, it definitely felt like there was a little bit uneven officiating, but it's okay. Like, we should be so much better than this team that it didn't matter. We really should. And it just didn't. It was brutal, man. Z Hamoda for them was just lights out from three. He was making everything, open or not, from the behind the arc. He went 5 for 5 from three. He had 19 points on the day, 4 rebounds and an assist, 2 steals for him, 3 steals for Austin Patterson. He's a little fireball, and he shoots a lot, but you know, Akal Malwian, I'm not sure how to say it. He had a ridiculous dunk. That was very impressive. He had 17 points on 6 for 11 shooting. He had, you know, he had 4 rebounds, 9 rebounds for Patterson, 8 rebounds for Bowen Beattie. He's their 7'2" post that he was able to just kind of score over guys, 8 rebounds for him. Just, man, Bailey Nunn gave us a number of problems, even though he is shorter than Ellis Magnuson. And, you know, he had 11 points. He made a lot of tough shots, man. But it's a winnable game, man. It's definitely a winnable game. We got out-rebounded. We got out-hustled. We got out-shot. And we just kind of got outplayed. That's really kind of what came to it. We just could not hit the outside shot, and that's exactly how we lost the NAU game. That's exactly how we lost the Montana State game. That's exactly how we lost the, not quite as much the Weber State game, but that's kind of how we ended up losing at the end, is they just hit some shots and we didn't. And, man, just so frustrating and just depressing, man, because now we don't even necessarily have a spot for us in the NIT. If you folks didn't know, the NIT changed their rules. They don't host the every regular season champion anymore. They got rid of the auto bids, which is really sad and sets a bad precedent for any small conference and out there. But that might be it for this Eagle team. I assume that they'll get invited to some other tournament and we'll have a few more games, but just a brutal way for these guys to go out, man. They had so much potential. They have so much versatility, so much size, so much length that they really can compete with anyone when they're on, and they were just off that night. Going through Eastern's box score, 22 points for Cedric Coward. He was, again, 1-for-7 from three, which was brutal. We just needed him to knock down 2 or 3 of these, and all of a sudden we're back in this game. 7-for-14 from the field. 6 of those misses coming from beyond the arc. Of those 6 of the 7 misses came from beyond the arc. He was just so good in the post on smaller guards with his little turnaround jumpers, and he's a guy that I hope to God stays when it comes to the transfer portal, but you never know. He could definitely be a preseason All Big Sky MVP next year if he does stick around. He would be a second transfer guy, so I don't know how much that matters, but he probably at this point graduated. I believe he was a junior this year. We'll get more into that in the season recap episode. He had 2 blocks as well as an assist and 6 rebounds. Coward played his butt off, even though he wasn't shooting. He tried to affect the game in as many ways as he could, and he did. He's playing good defense, 2 block shots, as I've just mentioned. He played a solid game overall. Casey Jones, he had 14 points, 2 steals. He's Mr. Reliable when it comes to, hey, we can't shoot very well, we need some points. Casey Jones is going to come through and get you some points, likely from the free throw line. He had an awesome alley-oop dunk from Kaiman that, was kind of the highlight of the game until the other dunk that happened over Eric Strutt. But we won't talk about that too much. Ethan Price had 11 points on 4-for-8 shooting. Not his most efficient day. He seemed like he just missed a lot of shots that he typically makes. He made a couple of threes, though. He was nice from beyond the arc, 2-for-5. He had 6 rebounds. He had 3 assists. A block and a steal to go for him as well. He played okay. Ellis Magnuson had 7 points. He drained a nice 3. He made a couple of nice plays inside, shooting layups, and he had one nice fadeaway jumper from top of the key that was, he scored well, and that's one of that. That's kind of what we typically need to be able to open up the middle, is just have Ellis make a couple of shots. But man, it just didn't work because everyone else couldn't shoot. Ellis had, it was kind of weird. It wasn't a very Ellis day. He only had 2 assists, but he had 7 points and a steal. He played good defense throughout the game, though. Really hope that's not his last game as an Eagle, because that was just a tough way to send these seniors out. Kaiman, we already kind of hit on him. He went 1-for-10 in this game, 3 points. He had 3 assists. He had 2 turnovers and a steal. Brutal. Dane Erickstrup, he had 7 points. He knocked down a 3. He was only 2-for-6 from the field, though. He made a couple of free throws, but he had 5 rebounds. He didn't really do anything else. Lum Watts played some tough defense, made a nice couple of hustle plays. He only had 3 points, though. He made 1 field goal and then went to the line. He had an assist, and that was kind of all he did. Mason Williams played a little bit. He had his first field goal since kind of the beginning of the game. Not a ton, though, from him. And only 11 minutes from Sebastian Hartman. He didn't put anything in the ball. He had a rebound and a steal. But, man, it sucks, man. It's such an underwhelming end of the season. And okay, I'm a Brewers fan, and you people probably don't care, but almost every year the Brewers tend to finish at the top of the division or winning the division, and then they lose in the first round of the playoffs in kind of epic fashion. We get our hopes up expecting, you know, something awesome, and then we end up losing, and then the team that beats us goes on a run. That's what this felt like to me. Like, that happened last year with NAU. Like, we lose to NAU, all of a sudden NAU's in the championship game. We lose to Sac State, and all of a sudden Sac State's in the semifinals playing Montana State, a team that they have given trouble, they beat this year. Sac State could very well be in the damn conference championship next week, or tomorrow, I mean. And it wouldn't even surprise me, man. It's just, it's crazy. It hurts. It sucks. I really hope these guys get some sort of a tournament invite to kind of wash that bad taste out of our mouths as the seniors go off and are no longer Eagles, but or at least no longer active Eagles. There will always be Eagles, but yeah. So sad that was potentially the last game of Ellis's career, was losing to the 10 seed in his hometown. Absolutely brutal. And you know, I'm not gonna add too much more to that. We're just kind of complaining at this point, which is, I mean, I'm pretty good at that. But man, it really is unfortunate. I'm really hoping that these women. I'm recording this on Tuesday after the women just punched their ticket to the tournament or to the championship. But you know, I'm hoping these women can bring one home for the Eagle faithful and go to the big dance. But you guys will know before I do, man. You know, because this is gonna be uploaded afterwards. So man. Alrighty, thank you guys for listening. And I think this is just gonna be kind of a part of a part of, you know, a tournament overall episode with the women's in it. But I figured I'd get the bad out now while I'm in a good mood and no longer in a good mood, but while I'm in a good mood and have some time after watching the women's game. But thank you guys for listening, and go Eagles. Let's go, guys. We have a much happier half of the episode here. Your Eagle women are the Big Sky Tournament champions in 2024. Awesome, awesome stuff. They are headed to March Madness. They have punched their ticket. Jamie Loetta wins Big Sky MVP, Big Sky Tournament MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. She was a unanimous first team All Big Sky player. Man, talk about a freaking week, man. The men's team was such a blow, and just so sad. Like, damn, this team had all the potential to go to the big dance, and they just kind of choked. And then this women's team, man, they took care of business and they fought through some adversity. They played some good teams, and they played the two teams that have beat them before, they ended up matching up with in the tournament again. And man, I gotta say, I'm very impressed with these ladies, because they were down all three of these games. They were at points down by, you know, 8 to 10 points in both the Weber State, the Montana State, and the all three of those games, not just two. So what a freaking performance from these ladies. We'll go through this a little bit game by game, not insane detail. I'm not overly prepared. I'm still on spring break. I'm still a little sick, and so we're running on some fumes here. But looking at the first round game, Eastern played the 9 seed Weber State. This one was relatively, you know, they had this thing on lock for the most part. In the third quarter, the Eagle women were down by something like 10-ish points. Weber State had a really good opening half of the third quarter, and got themselves out to a pretty good lead, and things were looking a little hairy there. But then these Eagle women fought back, ended up taking the lead in the third quarter finally after a pretty lockjaw game back and forth. And in the fourth quarter, the Eagle women just took over, broke this one open, ended up winning this one by 13. It felt pretty close down the stretch, man. They had two players that were just absolutely—they were just unstoppable for whatever reason. They were making so many shots. Darren Hickok and Jaden Matthews, I believe they're both older, like seniors for this Weber State team. But the Eagles won this game by forcing so many damn turnovers. They forced 21 turnovers in this one, and they only turned the ball over 11 times. They, you know, Jamie Jamie Luetta with 4 steals, 14 points, 8 assists. She's doing her thing. She had a rebound as well. Jaleesa Lawrence had 15 points as well as 6 rebounds. She had a very nice game, led the game in scoring. Jacinta Buckley, she's back, has 10 points, 9 rebounds, very close to a double-double. Man, Jacinta Buckley was absolutely massive in this game. 12 points for JD Martin off the bench. She had a big role in this tournament as well, but Jacinta Buckley was absolutely huge in this tournament. She really, if it wasn't Luetta, it was going to be Jacinta Buckley for tournament MVP because she was absolutely pivotal in all these games. She was kind of, she felt like the catalyst to when this Eagle offense was having a cold spell. Jacinta hit the big shot, and she's been absolutely massive. She hits a game winner versus, I believe it was the Montana game. She hit the game winner in one of her first games back. Then in this tournament, she's kind of the catalyst and leads the team in scoring in two of these games. What a freaking way to come back from a tough injury, missing a ton of time. This Eagle team is so hard to beat when Jacinta Buckley's on the floor just because she's so versatile. And it just gives another scoring option, and it makes this team so hard to defend. So awesome stuff. Man, you know, the second quarter was absolutely brutal. But other than that, the Eagles were really consistent offensively. You know, they had their low spell, but they were able to hold the other team to that low spell as well in this one. And I'm fine with that, man. You know, 15 to 20 points is kind of what we asked for, and there it is. They shot the ball extremely well. 43% for the game, but when you get rid of that second quarter, man, it's somewhere around there, 53-ish%. 7 for 18 from three is a really high percentage as well. Aaliyah Alexander and Jacinta Buckley both hit 2 threes, and then 1 apiece for Martin Pettis and Jaleesa Lawrence. Jaleesa Lawrence made so many hustle plays that don't really show up in the box score in this tournament, and we'll get to those later. But 26 points off turnovers in this one, really, really huge. Going to the Montana State game. Montana State, you guys got to remember, Montana State was the team that beat us in Reese by a point down the stretch. They were our, I think we lost 2 games in a row, maybe. I don't remember. But we ended up losing to Montana State in a tough one. And this was without Jacinta Buckley. This team was still missing her for sure. This was kind of a closer game. The Eagles were able to kind of break it open in the second quarter, but then Montana State fought back a little bit, and then the Eagles kind of, you know, extended again, and then the Eagles just took over in this fourth quarter. But this one was a little back and forth as well. You know, the result was in doubt most of this game, even though the Eagles had a pretty good lead going into halftime. It felt relatively close. It wasn't like some runaway game like the score might kind of tell you, to be completely honest. You know, they hung around, but this was an absolutely dominant defensive performance from the Eagles. Didn't give up 40 points, held Lamarta to just 9. She's one of their better players pretty much in the entire league in terms of offense and defense. She's a really good player. She probably could have been more of an all-conference, higher up on the all-conference list if she stayed healthy. I believe she was the Montana State player that got pretty hurt. But man, this game was looking a little hairy early. And the Eagles were down, I can't remember, but they're down by something like 8 to 10 points. It was tough. In the first quarter, the Eagles turned the ball over 10 times. In the first quarter, just the first quarter. Typically 10 is, you know, kind of rough for a whole game. And they turned, or not rough, but that's about what you want to aim for, 10 or under in a game. The Eagles turned it over 10 times in that first quarter. Absolutely brutal. But they were able to really hold on to the ball the rest of it. They only had 10 turnovers the whole rest of the second, third, and fourth quarter. Held on to the ball, scored enough. I mean, they weren't great, but Montana State played some tough defense. Man, this second quarter was absolutely ugly. Only 6 points for Montana State, but most of this Eastern was not scoring the ball either. But at least that's what it kind of felt like. I guess the percentages tell you differently. Maybe I'm just remembering this completely wrong, but it felt like that second quarter was kind of an ugly back and forth, you know, defensive shootout. But man, ended up pulling this one out. I don't have a ton more to add. This one was kind of a just a defensive brawl, but the Eagle defense prevailed. And again, Jacinta Buckley was 16 points. She had a steal, a block, and five rebounds. She had a hell of a game, shooting 60% from the field, hit two threes. Louetta, 12 points, eight assists, typical Louetta thing. She had six turnovers in this one, which is kind of uncharacteristic for her, but she also had a block, a steal, three rebounds to go along with that. And I mean, Jamie Louetta facilitated this offense for sure, but if I'm being completely honest, I think the MVP should have gone to Jacinta Buckley for the tournament. But I mean, it's hard not to give it to Jamie Louetta with her all-around performances. 10 points for Aaliyah Alexander. She had 10 rebounds as well. Nice double-double. 9 and 9 for Jaleesa Lawrence. 9 points, 9 rebounds. She had an assist as well. Just if you look at it's just well-rounded stats for these. Like Aaliyah Alexander, 10 rebounds, 9 rebounds for Jaleesa Lawrence. 5 rebounds for Buckley. You know, Millie Knowles, she didn't play quite as much in this tournament as she was kind of down the stretch, but she played some important minutes, 1 for 3 for her for 2 points and a rebound. She kind of a tougher game, but, you know, well-rounded for the most part effort. Everywhere, the scoring kind of came from the big forward here, those starters, but, you know, overall, just impressive performance from these Eagle women. Defensively in particular, they had 11 steals. Oh, excuse me, that's Montana State. They had 7 steals, tons and tons of turnovers forced for these Eagle women, forced 19 turnovers. Yeah, don't have a ton more to add here. Moving on to the Northern Arizona game, to the championship. This one was a little hairy there, man. So we got out to a pretty tough start, down 22-12 after the first quarter. And NAU was just shooting the ball pretty lights out. Eastern could not get a bucket. Shot 5 for 14 in that first quarter. And they were pretty much all twos, if I remember. Yeah, all twos. That didn't hit a single three in that second quarter, or that first quarter, excuse me. They hit one, but man, 12 was eating us up. Sophie Glancy was eating us up on the inside there. And it was tough, man. She really played her butt off in that first quarter, for especially. She did throughout the whole game, but I want to say almost like 8 or 10 of those 15 points that she had, Sophie Glancy, I don't know for sure, but in my eyes, she would have been the runner-up for Big Sky MVP to Jamie Louetta, probably the best post player in the league, and she's a very dominant player. She was averaging something like 18 and 10 all year, so she had some impressive numbers, but she was dominating this first quarter, and then the Eagles made a defensive adjustment. They decided they're going to double Glancy in the post and force them to shoot, and fortunately for the Eagles, they were not able to shoot tonight, and that was absolutely massive, because they, if I'm remembering right, NAU had scored 80 points in the last game, or 70 to 80 points in their last game, and so they were battle-tested, and they're able to score the ball. One of the best offensive teams in the entire Big Sky. I'd probably say the best offensive team in the Big Sky. They were missing one of the Moran twins. I can't remember her first name, but the other Moran twin, she's number 22. She was missing in this game. One of their kind of outside shooters as well as a good defender, but they were missing one of their key contributors due to an illness, I believe is what the listed in issue was, but man, this performance was impressive down the stretch for these Eagle women. It really, I mean, 12 points in the first quarter isn't horrible. We would have liked a little bit more, but they just couldn't stop Glancy in that first quarter, and after that, it really was all Eagles. You know, the third quarter was a little competitive, but the second and fourth quarters are kind of where the Eagles won their games this whole tournament. Just looking at the point totals for second and third quarters. The fourth quarter in the Weber State game won this one 12-24. In the fourth quarter in the Montana State game, won that one 19-12. Fourth quarter of the NAU game, won that one 25-16. They came up clutch down the stretch, which is what you need to win tournaments like this, and that's exactly what they did. You know, just really impressed, really, really impressed. Holding NAU to just 64 points, they're such an electric offensive team. They're averaging up around 75 points a game. So holding them just down to 64, absolutely huge. Forced them to turn the ball over 20 times. They're one of the lower teams in the league in turnovers per game, if I'm remembering correctly. Only turned the ball over 9 times. four of them coming from Lee Alexander. Again, kind of uncharacteristic for her. We didn't shoot the ball like insanely efficiently, but man, just absolutely huge down the stretch, and was able to, you know, really put this one away down in the fourth quarter. Jacinta Buckley had an absolutely massive day in the championship game, going 20 points, 11 rebounds, a nice double-double. She had three steals, a block, an assist. Dude, absolutely massive. Player of the game for sure. She hit a three, shot a lot of threes, but she hit one. And in my eyes, she should have probably been the tournament MVP. She led the team in scoring in two games, double-double in the championship. She really, to me, should have been the MVP, if I'm being completely honest. But I'm perfectly fine with Jamie Lobetta as well. Jamie had 11 points and 5 assists in the championship game. She had a number of turnovers that weren't pretty, but she had 4 block shots. I did not know that, or didn't process that. Wow, that's kind of nuts. But tons of steals, 12 steals for this Eagle team. They just played outstanding defense. They're really, really just flying around defensively. There is no easy passes for this team. They made getting the ball inside to Glancy almost impossible. Saniya Neverson got a few points in there when she came in as well, one of their kind of backup big. But they really just absolutely dominated defensively. Emily Rodebow, or whatever, however you say her name, she's one of NA's better players from outside Ofer. They held Leah Beattie to only 2. She's one of the best three-point shooters in the league. 0-for-4 from 3. Naya Moran came to play. She had 14 points, hit 2 threes, 9 rebounds, 3 steals. She had a really nice game, as well as Glancy had overall solid numbers. But this game was just all about the Eagles. I don't know if it was destiny or what, but the Eagles were going to win this one. And, excuse me. I'm so happy they did. 36 points in the paint. Just, I'm not going to say dominant, because it was a little hairy there, but you know, this Eagle team was the best team all year, in my opinion. They definitely were. There was a little stretch there where NAU was in first and Eastern was in second, due to, you know, Jacinta Buckley was out. But with Jacinta Buckley, this team can beat almost any team in the nation, in my opinion. And are they going to be favored against any team in the nation? Heck no. But the defense this team plays with is going to be tough to – it provides a big challenge to any college basketball team. Obviously, a team like a freaking South Carolina or anything like that would be a tough task. But I think this Eagle women team has legit potential to be, you know, has legit potential to go win a game or two up there in the big dance. And so this kind of moves our conversation off of this game, more onto kind of the big dance in general. So the Eagle women, we don't know what seed they're going to get quite yet. Selection Sunday is in a few days here. I'm recording this on Friday, March 15th. We don't know exactly what seed they're going to get. Projecting something around 13. I think anywhere from 12 to 14 would be realistic for this Eagle women team, from everyone I've talked to and just kind of what it feels like. This team has, you know, a very, very close loss to a ranked team that'll probably be a top 5 seed in the tournament in Gonzaga. And I probably should have beat that Gonzaga team. And so, you know, I really do think that this Eagle women group will get a pretty fair seed, man. And I think they're going to get a shot to, they're going to get a matchup that they can go win a game. And we saw this year, in a few different games. Let's take it a quick peek at the schedule here. I can't quite remember exactly, but they gave, you know, UC Irvine a run for their money. They probably should have beat Gonzaga. They beat Boise State. They beat Utah State. They beat Southern Utah. They beat, you know, they played a few good, relatively good programs. You know, they lost a close one to Cal. Stuff like that. Dominated a Presbyterian team. Beat Wyoming. They played some quality programs and played competitive in almost every game. So, I mean, I really do like Eastern's chances in this tournament, guys. I really think that this Eagle women have a legit shot to make some noise. Just think about, like, Gonzaga was 30-3 on the year. They lost the game to Wazoo early in the year, and after that, they didn't lose another game until they played a top 25 Louisville team. Man, and then they lost in the tournament in the championship by a point. Wow. So, like, this Gonzaga team's legit, and Eagle women probably should have beat them. Beat them at home. So, man, guys, like, I know I was kind of a little unorganized and whatever. I'm kind of just going off the top of my head here, but guys, Eagle women are going to the big dance. You guys need to be there. If there's any potential chance that they end up in Spokane, I know Spokane's hosting tournament games. I don't know how it works for men's, women's, whatever. If they're in Spokane, you people better get out to Spokane and go support this team, because they are, one, an awesome bunch. They do it the right way. They're a bunch of really, really good people, and they're a really good team. And they've worked their butts off to get here. Guys, what, 3-4 years ago, Eastern Washington was a perennial bottom feeder in the Big Sky in the women's basketball side of things. You know, they just were not good. They weren't good for a number of years. Man, this team is set up to be real good this year and into the future. You know, we don't know what the future holds with Jamie and exactly yet, but, you know, Jaleesa Lawrence is back. Ellie Alexander is back. You think of, I don't know. JD and Martin's back. Like, they're all, you know, sophomores, juniors that this team could be really good next year as well. You know, Jamie Luetta has another year of eligibility. We don't know what she's going to do with it quite yet, but she could totally come back and dominate the Big Sky once again. So, just looking into the future, this stuff could be awesome. We'll probably do something short in a football-ish episode regarding the seeding and all of that goes on Sunday for the women, and we'll hit on the men's if they even have another game. I don't know. No NIT invite for regular season champs anymore, so I don't freaking know what's going to go on with the men's team. If they end up playing a game, we'll talk about it, but we'll probably do a season in review type episode here in a week or two, and I'll try to get Kyler on for that. Man, guys, yeah, I think that's about all I got here on the women's team. Also, check out the new logo up here. I know in the first half of the video it's not there, but we finally came up with a new logo, kind of messed around in a little bit of Photoshop stuff, and made up this new logo up in the top right-hand corner. If you're on video, if you're on audio, you clicked on the logo to see this episode, so just check it out. I put a little bit of work into it and took a few hours, so I know it ain't great, but it's something new, and it's something that was a little bit of fun for me to do. I just wanted to point it out there. I think that's all we got, man. So, just congrats to these Eagle women. Such an awesome season. Such an awesome group of people, and super, super juice for them. As soon as we have news, keep updated with the Eagles Power Hour, the EPH Twitter account, and Instagram. We'll be tweeting, retweeting timing of games and all that stuff if you guys want to know or don't know where to look. And so we'll keep everyone updated. Alrighty, that's all we got for this episode of Eagles Power Hour. Disappointing end to the men's season again, but man, Eagle women got me right back up on top of my tippy toes, and I'm real excited for this Eagle women team because they deserve it, and I think they can go make some noise in March. Alrighty, guys, thank you to everyone for listening. Give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, and yeah, go Eagles.